Chapter 9. The day of Miss Evangeline's funeral dawned gray and dreary, suitable weather for the heavy feeling in my heart. It was to be a simple affair. Her family had decided she wouldn't want a big send-off. I wasn't so sure. Maybe she would have liked to go out with a splash. As it happened, though, it's doubtful that anyone at the graveside service would ever forget that day. "What do you think about this?" I asked Ulysses, who had trudged up the stairs behind me and followed me into my bedroom. I held up a navy blue skirt with a matching heavy sweater. He sighed, dismissing the world of humans with their frivolous concerns, and plunked down on the rug by my bed. "Penny?" I asked. She didn't bother to raise her head from the pillow. I had worn so much black lately to various funerals that I didn't want to add to the dreariness with that somber color, but navy blue wasn't much better. From what I had seen of Miss Evangeline, she wouldn't have approved of anything drab or dreary. I remembered the bright skirt she had worn the only time I saw her. No, the day was dark enough already. Hanging the skirt and sweater back in my closet, I pulled out slacks and a red sweater. "Is this better?" I asked Ulysses. He blinked, which I took to mean yes. I would go to Miss Evangeline's send-off wearing a color that celebrated her long and lively life. Besides, a raincoat would be necessary, and it would cover up most of me. Slipping into my funeral outfit, I fluffed up my hair, applied a dab of lipstick, and declared myself fit to be seen in public. Thunder rumbled ominously in the distance, reminding me that I had better carry an umbrella, too. Why had I agonized over what to wear? Nobody at the cemetery would notice or remember what I wore, and it didn't really matter to anyone but me. I had no invitation to Miss Evangeline's funeral. That wasn't the way things were done in small-town Edna Lee. Her death notice and a short obituary were in the local paper, giving the date and time for her burial. That was enough for anyone who was interested. It was such a murky day, and according to the Tulsa meteorologist, storms were a possibility. Only those who were dedicated to the small owner of the Carver farm, or the curious, would dare to face the elements. Would the murderer make an appearance? For in my heart, I believed that Miss Evangeline's death was not accidental. Maybe for some reason, her gentle mare was startled and pitched her off, causing her to hit her head and die. Or maybe it was only meant to look that way. Would I see guilt on anybody's face as they stood around her coffin? I doubted that the guilty person's conscience would overcome him, and he would break down and confess at her graveside. But one never knew. At last, the hands of my old-fashioned wall clock pointed to 1:30. It was time to make the trek to the cemetery, that final resting place of past Edna Lee citizens, including Uncle Javin. It almost made me sad to go there, and try as I might, I couldn't feel any of the joy I had known while my uncle was here on earth. All I could feel was emptiness and the sadness that he, my last living relative, was gone. A big green awning flapped in the wind at the cemetery. People were already gathering, the family and, I supposed, several of Miss Evangeline's employees were sitting under the shelter of the canopy. Others stood close by. I saw Cade and took my place beside him. His hand closed around mine, warm and comforting. I smiled at him. The pastor of the Methodist Church, Reverend Herschel Hart, began the service by reading John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. After he sat down, to my surprise, Ken Riley stepped to the microphone. In a rich baritone, he sang the old hymn, Day by Day. Tears filled my eyes at the lovely words. After Ken sat down, the pastor returned and read Miss Evangeline's obituary. The wind steadily rose, flapping the canopy with such enthusiasm that it was difficult to hear Pastor Hart's words. I glanced at Cade. He squeezed my hand. Leaning close to my ear, he said, "Maybe you'd better get home, Ned. Looks like a pretty bad storm is heading our way." I shook my head. If he was staying, I was staying. Stubbornness is a strong character trait in my family. Lightning flashed, and the rain began, just some sprinkles at first. I heard Cade's phone when it signaled he had a text message. "Let's stand for the Lord's Prayer," Pastor Hart said. As anyone outside the tent was already standing, that meant only those under it rose to their feet. Before we could open our mouths to say, "Our Father," a figure clothed in a small black hat, a black coat and gloves, and, I presumed, black shoes, although I couldn't see them, jumped up from her chair under the tent, brushed Pastor Hart aside, and grabbed the microphone. Who was she? Was she one of the people I had met the day of Miss Evangeline's death? With the rain, it was difficult to see. The wind took her hat away, and her hair streamed out in the gale, whipping against Pastor Hart as he vainly tried to calm her and regain the microphone. With her black coat flapping in the wind, she reminded me of pictures of witches I'd seen in my childhood. She pointed her shaking finger toward the family group. I would have had no problem hearing her without the microphone. "You killed her!" she shrilled. "You killed her! And may you never have a moment's peace until you confess your heinous act! Murderers!" Who was she talking to? Evidently, it was someone in the tent. At that moment, the ominous, throaty drone of the town's tornado siren electrified the gathering. The noise rose and fell on the gusts, a warning wail to take cover. Cade dropped my hand and sprinted to the tent. Wrenching the microphone from the woman's hands, he said, "Listen to me. You all need to leave, now." People began to scatter as he continued. "Take shelter immediately. Storm watchers have spotted a tornado heading toward Edna Lee. Don't panic. Just don't lose any time in getting to safety." Wind-driven rain nearly blinded me. All at once, Gerald was at my side. "Miss Ned, please go by and get Cora D," he said. "You all had better go to your basement as fast as you can. Tell her I'll be okay. I've got to help Cade." I wanted to hurry, but couldn't make my legs go fast enough. Struggling against the wind, I backed my SUV out of the cemetery's parking lot and drove toward my house, my heart pounding in my ears. The sky had become as dark as night, and rain came in such torrents that driving fast was not an option. Blasts of wind rocked the escape. It seemed like an eternity before I reached my garage, pulled inside, and started to dash up the stairs for Cora D. She met me coming down, and we jumped into my front seat. I gunned the escape up the hill toward the carport. We both tumbled out of the car and ran into the kitchen. "The basement," I told her, my hand on her back. "Get into the basement. I've got to find Ulysses and Penny." Locating my pets was no problem. They appeared from somewhere in the house, pressing against my ankles. I followed Cora D down the basement stairs, the animals close behind me. I groped for the light switch and clicked it on. Down here, the storm's roar was muffled, but the walls of the basement felt as if they shuddered. Grabbing candles and matches from a shelf, I managed to light one just as the ceiling light flickered and went out. Then Cora D and I wrapped our arms around each other and prayed.